Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson. How in the world are you today? It's Wisdom Wednesday. We're going to talk about the wisdom of Middle East peace. Are you ready? Let's go.
Live from our nation's capital, welcome to Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson. An expert on race, religion, and relationships, Dr. Anderson wants to talk to you. Our phone lines are now open. 888-432-7434. And now, please welcome Dr. David Anderson, your bridge-building voice in the nation's capital.
That's me, your bridge-building voice right here in the nation's capital. How in the world are you today? Well, wherever you are, in your kitchen, in your car, maybe in front of your computer or your smartphone, watching me on my social media, thanks a lot for tuning in. At Anderson Speaks is my handle for all my social media. And I'm on YouTube Live and Facebook Live right now. I'm waving at you with the sideways peace sign. And you can see over me that beautiful picture of a bird. Not quite sure what that's doing there, but it's really pretty, isn't it? And for those of you who are listening on WAVA, thank you so much for tuning in. 105.1 FM, the most listened to Christian talk station on the East Coast, second in the entire country. So we're out of Arlington, Virginia, covering the DMV. That's DC, Maryland, Virginia, parts of West Virginia and Pennsylvania as well. So thanks a lot for tuning in. Well, if you're new to the show, this is how we roll. Marriage Mondays, Tough Topic Tuesdays, Wisdom Wednesdays, that's today, Theological Thursdays, and then Open Phone-In Fridays. Anything you want to talk to me about on Friday is fair game. And of course, on Saturdays, we have a special weekend edition just for you from 3 to 3:30. So make sure you tune in there. I'm really excited today because I'm talking about a subject that matters to me. And I'm talking with someone who I'm going to introduce you to in a moment. And I know the subject really, really matters to her. And for all of us, we're probably wondering what's going on in the Middle East. Well, the question I have for you today, and I'll have for our special guest, Reverend Dr. Mae Cannon, is this. What is the best pathway to peace in the Middle East? What is the best pathway to peace in the Middle East? That's the question. If you want to call and join the conversation, feel free. I'd love to hear your thoughts and your response to that question. Love to get your wisdom as well. Here's the number if you want to call me, 888-432-7434. That's 888-43-BRIDGE. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I'll introduce our special guest today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for waking us up this morning. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to wake up in a place where we don't hear bombings and we can feel safe. And we just pray for peace in the Middle East. We pray for our special guest, Reverend Dr. Mae Cannon, and every listener under the sound of my voice. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Now, there are a couple other ways you can get a hold of me. You can always go to AndersonSpeaks.com. That's AndersonSpeaks.com, and you can get all kind of information there about me, other resources, as well as if you like fashion, gentlemen, you just go on down to that button that says fashion, and you can create all your own clothing. That's absolutely amazing. All right. Now, listen, Dr. Mae Cannon is the Executive Director of Churches for Middle East Peace and is an ordained pastor in the Evangelical Covenant Church. She holds an MDiv, that's a Master's of Divinity, for those of you who didn't know, from North Park Theological Seminary, an MBA from North Park University's School of Business and Nonprofit Management, and an MA in Bioethics from Trinity International University. So I think that's like not one, not two, but three masters. She's like a triple master, but here's more. Hold on. She's received her first doctorate. Yeah, you said first. Her first doctorate in American history with a minor in Middle Eastern studies at the University of California, Davis, focusing on the history of the American Protestant Church in Israel and Palestine, and her second doctorate in ministry and spiritual formation from Northern Theological Seminary. She's authored several books, one of the most popular ones, Beyond Hashtag Activism, Comprehensive Justice in a Complicated Age, and of course, the award-winning Social Justice Handbook, Small Steps for a better world. She's been highlighted in New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, Chicago Tribune. The list goes on. But here's what you need to know. She is a friend of Dr. David Anderson, and I am blessed to have her as a friend. Dr. Mae Cannon, how in the world are you?
We have known one another a long time, Dr. David Anderson.
It has been.
I'm grateful to be with you.
Decades, I think, probably, right? You don't count them in years, and when you get older, I think you count them in decades, don't you?
We won't tell people how old we are.
That sounds good. I'm good with that if you are. That'll be our pact. So, hey, listen, you know, a couple of months ago, I was on the ground in Israel and right at the border of Gaza Strip in southern Gaza, and then went up to north Israel and listened to stories and walked the areas where there was horrific violence that took place, and stood right at the border where we could actually hear bombs going over from Israel to you know, Gaza. And I know that you were there too. You're often there. And I want to know, since you're so involved on the ground there, what's it been like these last several months, Dr. Mae Cannon?
For anyone who is a follower of Jesus, I learned from World Vision during my time there. The founder used to say this prayer. He said, "Break my heart for the things that break the heart of God." And so as a follower of Jesus, if you have met anyone who is Jewish or connected, you know, to people in Israel who lost loved ones on October 7th, or who knows someone who was kidnapped that day, or if you know a Palestinian who has lost someone, I mean, I know someone who was killed. I spent time with a Palestinian sitting in his dinner table. You know, I go into Gaza typically once a year. And if you know someone, one of the more than 33,000 people who were killed in Gaza, there is no way for your heart not to be broken. I have been torn in two. And I believe God's heart is absolutely broken about what's happening in the Holy Land.
Yeah, so God's heart's broken. Our hearts are broken. And we want to learn more about what we can do and how we can think about this particular issue. Before we do, though, and before I go to break, tell us a little bit more about yourself and the work you do with Churches for Middle East Peace.
Sure. So right now, actually, I am sitting in the basement of a church on Capitol Hill, and this is our annual advocacy week. We are commemorating that Churches for Middle East Peace has been around for 40 years. We were founded 40 years ago to seek to mobilize churches to advocate for peace in the Middle East, peace for Israelis, peace for Palestinians, peace in Syria, peace in Lebanon. We follow the Prince of Peace, Jesus, and that's the work that we do. And so we say educate, elevate, advocate. And we believe that God calls all of us who follow Jesus to be advocates of peace and advocates of justice.
Wow. Well, I'm sure many churches could use your assistance right now to even lift the conscience of what peace looks like in the Middle East. And when we come back from our commercial break, we're going to ask you, what can you do for churches? What can churches do for you? And then we'll kind of drill down on what's going on in Gaza right now, as well as in Israel. This is Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson. I've got Reverend Dr. Mae Cannon with me. We're asking the question, what is the best pathway to peace in the Middle East? If you want to join us, you can call 888-43-BRIDGE.
Have you ever listened to Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson and wondered how we come up with heartfelt discussions on Marriage Mondays or engaging topics on Tough Topic Tuesdays? Well, our listeners are our inspiration. We would love to keep hearing from you. So if you have an idea for the show, let us know, because comprehension begins with conversation. Send us your ideas by sending an email to info@andersonspeaks.com and join the conversation on Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson.
Do you need
need to be encouraged, or do you know someone that needs encouragement? Dr. David Anderson has compiled his sermon series, Be Encouraged, into a book which will be sure to encourage yourself and others. For a donation in any amount, we'll send you a signed copy of the book. To make your donation, visit andersonspeaks.com, click on the donate button, and we'll send you your copy today.
Want more Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson? You can now catch Dr. Anderson's half-hour radio highlight show on Saturdays at 3 p.m. right here on WAVA 105.1. You'll enjoy recent conversations he's had with callers to this show. Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson, Weekend Edition, Saturday, 3 p.m. on WAVA. Check it out. For more information about Dr. Anderson, visit andersonspeaks.com.
Today is Wisdom Wednesday. What wisdom do you need to hear today? Now back to the show with your host, Dr. David Anderson.
That's me, Dr. David Anderson, live right here in the nation's capital. I'm with Reverend Dr. May Cannon. We're talking about peace in the Middle East. She's the executive director of Churches for Middle East Peace, as well as an ordained pastor with Evangelical Covenant Church. And Dr. May Cannon, thanks again for hanging out with me on Real Talk.
Great to be here.
Question for you. What can you do for churches, and what can churches do for you?
I think that it is incredibly important for churches to be talking about what's happening right now in the Holy Land, in Israel, in Jerusalem, in Gaza, in the Palestinian territories, and that might be hard. So we can help. And different churches might have different relationships in their community. You might have a relationship with the Jewish community, or you might have a relationship with your Muslim neighbors. And so we have resources. And so we're happy to, you know, bring people from the region. That's why we say educate, right? That's why we say right. Elevate, that we elevate voices from the region. And I think also sometimes pastors are not, they don't want to be caught in the middle, because there can be contentious questions, and we can come in and moderate or mediate, right?
Right.
Because there can be questions about theology, or questions about geopolitics or history of Israeli perspectives or Palestinian perspectives. And I think that's a place where we can be of service.
Gotcha. What can churches do to actually harm peace in the Middle East, maybe even without knowing it? Maybe it's the way they're preaching, or the way they are explaining theology. Is there some way that actually we don't help the problem, but we add to it, Dr. May Cannon?
Oh, my goodness. That is a wonderful question. You know, I think about the verses in Scripture that talk about God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." But boy, do we like to think we know the answers. And, you know, you went through my bio. I have 3 master's degrees and 2 doctorates, and people say that I'm an expert on this issue. And I think about Romans chapter 12 that says, "Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought."
Mm-hmm.
And when you go on social media, everyone thinks that they're an expert, and they talk like they know what they're talking about. And may I just say, with all due respect, you probably do not. So, you know, I think in the United States, like, can we just start with the common humanity of Jesus said, love your neighbor. And not only did he say, love your neighbor, but love your enemy.
Right.
And by the way, like, the people who are a part of this conflict, they're neighbors.
Right.
Like, let's not just assume they're enemies, right? And so let's start by respecting the common humanity of all of the people involved in what's happening, you know, in Gaza, in Israel right now. I think that's a great place to start.
Gotcha. And so when the Bible says stuff like, you know, bless Israel and you will be blessed, then that can be preached so many different ways, don't you think?
I do. And I think it's really important. The modern nation state of Israel was not what the Bible was talking about. The modern nation state of Israel was established in 1948 as a secular nation state.
Mm.
which, by the way, is mostly secular. Like, the vast majority, 80% of the modern nation state of Israel are Jews, and the vast majority are not believing Jews. They're secular, and 20% are actually Palestinian citizens of the state of Israel.
Wow, now you're messing with people. You're telling me that all those verses in there about blessing Israel may not be the 1948 and beyond nation state of Israel?
You tell me. personally, I've gone to a lot of school. I think when we read the prophets, that God is the one who fulfills prophecy, not man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So, okay.
My understanding is we are supposed to, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I don't see myself pulling down the kingdom of God from heaven. That's me thinking of myself more highly than I ought, Romans chapter 12. Mm. And so I desire for Christ to come again. I desire for God's will to be done. I pray that on a regular basis. But when we read about the Israelites of the Old Testament, that is not the Israelis. You know, the modern nation state of Israel, I think, in 1967, that's when you hear the word occupation,
right,
we're talking about, that's a geopolitical term. There was a war in 1967 called the Six-Day War. Mm-hmm. And what happened was territory was conquered by the state of Israel.
Okay.
Territory, the Sinai was conquered from Egypt, you know, the West Bank from Jordan, the Golan from Syria. And Israel, the state, had a choice. They could either annex the land. They could either, you know, make it a part of Israel. They could give it back to those other states, or they could kind of keep it in no man's land. They could control it by military power. And that's what they decided. Mm-hmm. And so right now you have this land that is supposed to be, according to the United Nations, according to treaties, according to, you know, the Oslo Accords that was signed by Palestinian leaders and Israeli leaders, et cetera, it's supposed to be land designated for a future Palestinian state.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's controlled by Israeli military.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called occupied. And that's, I'm not trying to be controversial. That's just the geopolitical term because the Israeli military controls it.
Gotcha.
And so, you tell me if that's who God's talking about in the Hebrew scriptures when he's talking about the Jewish people.
I'm not disobeying God if I don't, or I'm not a bad Christian if I don't support all Israeli policy. Because this is important for my listeners right now, because if you kind of blindly look at this, it's like, hey, listen, if you're a good Christian, then you're going to support Israeli policy because that's what quote unquote God wants us to do.
I think you're exactly right. I think most people, forgive me because I'm simple myself, right? And I think when we read the scriptures, we want them to be as simple as possible. When God says, I will bless those who bless Israel, keep reading those passages. I mean, why did God bless the descendants of Abraham and the descendants of Isaac? He says, so that you will be a blessing to the nations.
Mm-hmm.
So shouldn't we also look at, you know, I mean, so those are the Hebrew scriptures, right?
Right.
And then let's look also at what Jesus says. I mean, Jesus talks about desiring all of God's people to come to know him because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Right, right. So I've often said that if you want to bless Israel, then bless him with Jesus because he's the actual blessing. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely believe Jesus is the blessing. I think the verses in Genesis, I fundamentally do not believe that modern nation states should be equated with what we read in the scriptures.
Mm.
So I think that's an important distinction.
That's huge, though. By you saying that, that's really huge because it allows people who are faithful followers of Jesus to make the break from what was ancient nations and modern day nation states. And that's huge because if one was a theocracy, that matters. But if then today there's no theocracy except the kingdom of God, which is invisible and doesn't have the borders of nation states, then that really does change one's theological view of how you may even view politics. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, think about when Israel actually asked for a king, God said, I'll give you one, but like, you shouldn't want one, right? I mean,
right.
There was, like,
right.
He did it reluctantly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think even when we look at the establishment of Israel and Judea and, you know, the history of in the Old Testament, you know, we see rebellion and unfaithfulness in the political structures of the day historically.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm not an Old Testament scholar by any means,
mm-hmm.
But I do think that the idea that this conflict between Israelis and Palestinians has been going on for thousands of years is fundamentally not true. This is a contemporary geopolitical conflict.
Say that
and
again.
I will say this also. This is a contemporary geopolitical conflict.
Mm-hmm.
This conflict started in the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
This has not been going on for thousands of years. The idea that Isaac, the son of Abraham, was blessed and Ishmael was cursed was also not true. Ishmael, when Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, was mm-hmm. in the wilderness, she cried out to God. If Ishmael was cursed, would God have responded to her? God reveals himself to Hagar in the wilderness.
Yeah, he does.
That's the very first revelation of God that we see. It's the very first theophany that we see. He reveals himself to the mother of Ishmael.
Yeah, yeah.
He hears her cry. And then, yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish. I like it.
Well, just when we see Isaac and Ishmael, when we have this idea that one, the descendants of one are blessed and the descendants of the other are cursed, look at when Abraham died. The two come together. The brothers come together and they bury him side by side.
Mm-hmm. Which means that blessing and that curse is over, you think, in that ancient time?
I don't buy into the idea that one was blessed and one was cursed.
I'd read,
there's a great book called Arab Sisters by an Old Testament theologian named Malouf is his last name. Tony Malouf, I think, is his name, Arabs in the Shadow of Israel. I wrote a book called A Land Full of God, and he actually wrote a chapter in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how we don't understand that Ishmael was picked out by Sarah, you know, by Abraham and Sarah,
mm-hmm.
but that God actually met Hagar and Ishmael.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
You know, this false binary of the two peoples. You know,
interesting. Yeah, that was not Hagar's doing. And of course, in Genesis 16, when she cries out to God, she names him El Roy, the God who sees, which I think is pretty amazing. Well, I want to shift now, if it's okay with you, and I will take a couple of phone calls. But on the second half of the show, I want to shift into particularly Gaza and Israel right now. But let me take a quick call from Mike, who's on the road before my first break. Hey, Mike, it's Dr. Anderson and Dr. Cannon. How you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I had a question for Dr. Cannon and perhaps yourself even, Dr. Anderson.
Thank you.
It seems to me that the way that Hamas is controlling the country, that I see many of the Gazans as kind of prisoners of their own political leadership. Yeah, and I'm kind of just looking for a little insight. If they had a free and fair election with a normal slate of candidates, including maybe even Hamas, do you think Hamas would win a free and fair election again today?
That's a really good question. Thanks, Mike. I'll let you listen on the air. May Cannon, we got about 30 seconds. What do you think?
That's a great question. I don't know right now. Many people are blaming Hamas. Many people in Gaza right now are blaming Hamas for the lack of food, water, the bombing by Israel. On the other hand, the people living in Gaza have been living under a blockade for 16 years. And the actions of October 7th, in my opinion, absolutely horrific, must be condemned. I think many people felt like a blockade for 16 years, as horrific as the actions of October 7th were, I think some Palestinians feel at least they did something, you know, where they were living under a blockade for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with that opinion.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good way to just be honest about it. We don't know how the citizens would respond if there were no Hamas. Hey, listen, when we get back, I want to talk about a two-state solution, and we will return in just 3 minutes. This is Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson and Dr. Mae Cannon. Welcome to the second half of the program. I've got Reverend Dr. Mae Cannon, who's on the line with me. She is the executive director of Churches for Middle East Peace. She's an ordained pastor in the Evangelical Covenant Church. And she's with me today as we're talking about the best pathway to peace in the Middle East. And for those of you who are just joining us, you can always call in if you want to. The phone number is 888-432-7434. And Dr. Mae Cannon is the author of several books, including the most recent, Beyond Hashtag Activism, Comprehensive Justice in a Complicated Age, as well as the award-winning book, Social Justice Handbook. Great book, by the way, Small Steps for a Better World. She's the editor of a book, A Land Full of God, which she referenced in the first half of the show, subtitled Christian Perspectives on the Holy Land. Dr. Mae Cannon, first of all, let me thank you for being on the show for those who have just joined us.
I'm grateful to be with you. Thank you.
So, you know, to Mike's question about the way citizens view Hamas, in Gaza, by what you just said before the break, you think that a lot of the Palestinians are blaming Hamas for this and not necessarily blaming Israel?
You know, I was in Gaza last in 2022, and when I was there, I thought Palestinians in Gaza would be talking about the occupation, you know, that their first thing would be speaking out against Israeli policies. And actually, in 2022, there was a lot of anti-Hamas sentiment in Gaza, openly. I mean, and I go into Gaza, I don't cover, you know, I'm a Christian. You know, at that point, there were about 1,000 Christians in Gaza. That number has decreased since then because of, you know, the St. Porphyria's Church was bombed in December. Mm-hmm. You know, a number of Christians have been killed over the last 6 months since October. So I do think things have changed. You know, I mean, Israel said after October 7th, they immediately, the government, the Israeli government under Prime Minister Netanyahu, said no food, no water, no gas, no electricity. They shut everything off from the entire enclave of Gaza, mm-hmm. from 2.3 million people. And they said no food, no water, no gas, no electricity until all of the hostages. At that point, it was 240 hostages.
Right.
Maybe just over that. And they said, none of those, you know, basic humanitarian water, et cetera, none of that until all of the hostages are returned home.
Mm-hmm.
And it took weeks before any humanitarian assistance, including water, was allowed into Gaza, which, you know, the United States government would say that's one of the things that they've accomplished. Now, before October 7th, it took about 500 trucks a day just to meet the basic nutritional requirements. And, you know, over the last 6 months, the amount of humanitarian assistance being allowed in has met only about 10% of the needs. So now you have a population in Gaza that's on the brink of famine.
Right. So what's the right answer? Because if I look at it from one side, it looks like, you know, genocide. If I look at it from another side, it looks like, you know, things were, as you know, sort of Holocaust-ish with October 7th, depending on who you talk to, what side. So let me play, if you'll play with me here, play with the Israel side for a second. Netanyahu's right. Give up the hostages and all this pain will end. What's wrong with that perspective?
Sure. Well, I think what's wrong with that is you're equating Hamas with all of Gaza. So Hamas is only, at least at October 7th, Hamas was estimated to be about 20 to 30,000 people, whereas the whole population of Gaza is 2.3 million people. Hmm. Now, you might say, well, Gaza democratically elected Hamas. Well, no, the vast majority of people in Gaza are under the age of 18. I think it's 48% or something like that. So the majority of people in Gaza today didn't vote for Hamas 16 years ago, right?
Okay,
so how can they be held accountable? You're saying 2.3 million people are being held accountable for the crimes of Hamas.
Right.
I would say hold Hamas accountable for the crimes of Hamas.
All right,
I'm
gonna keep fighting on the other side.
Yeah, setting you up for murder because you committed murder.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm gonna keep advocating for this other side, and then I'll jump to the other side. But
please.
I hear you. But 30,000 Hamas people have embedded themselves in 2 million people, and the only way I'm gonna get my hostages back, and the only way I'm going to get rid of this group that has vowed to exterminate us is to, unfortunately, take on this collateral damage. What do you say to that?
Yes. Yes. Then I would say, when is it ever okay to deny someone of water? And if you're talking to a Christian, what's Jesus say? Jesus says, your enemy needs water, give him water. He says, your enemy needs food, give him food. Let alone international law says, international law says you have to give water and food to anyone. So even if you think those 2.3 million people are guilty or enemies, or everyone says it's Hamas's fault. I don't care whose fault it is. 13,000 children have been killed, let alone the thousands of children that are going to be mentally disabled because they did not have enough nutrients to mentally be developed. They're going to be physically disabled for the rest of their lives because of hunger.
That's good. That's good. And so should I then be a person who says, you know what? I want my son back, who's a hostage, but I don't want my government to kill any more innocent people, even though I don't really know who's innocent and who's not, when Hamas is up in those hospitals and tunneled up under their livelihood. But at the same time, as a mom, as a dad, I want to be like Jesus. And so hold on to my kid and let's negotiate a different way. But please don't kill anybody else, including World Central Kitchen employees.
Right.
That's really the struggle that I'm sure many parents of hostages are in. When I get back from my break, we're going to come back to this because this is real stuff. I'm so, so glad that you are with me, Reverend Dr. Mae Cannon. I will be right back.
If you're anything like me, you see all the division and hostility in the world, and you know that if you just had the right tools, you could make a difference. You could help bring some healing. You could be a bridge builder. Guided by Dr. David Anderson and the Gracism Global Team, I learned how to live and lead by becoming a positive solution in a world that's dealing with such negative problems. I went from feeling overwhelmed to being empowered, from being a bystander to becoming a bridge builder. Dr. Anderson has taken the principles of Gracism around the world, helping corporations, ministries, nonprofits, and government leaders grow in their ability to bridge the deepest divides of color, class, and culture. Through Gracism Global's coaching and certifications, you can gain the confidence and skills to bring change right where you are. Whether for you or your whole organization, we're here to help you bring the power of Gracism into your life and leadership today. Visit GracismGlobal.com and join us on this transformative journey. We're not just fighting against racism, we're building a world of Gracism. Have you ever driven through your neighborhood and saw that neighbors had their grass that was way too long? They had all kinds of clovers in the grass, and you're wishing as you drive silently, I wish they would mow their lawn. Well, guess what? Why don't you get them a gift? Call Laser Landscaping and let them cut the lawn for your neighbors. Go to Laser with a Z Landscaping LLC on Facebook or give them a call if you want them to beautify your lawn. 240-516-4967 for those who live in the Prince George's County and surrounding areas. Their number once again, 240-516-4967. It's Laser Landscaping, or just ask for the owner, Fidel, and make sure you tell Fidel that Dr. Anderson sent you.
Welcome back to Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson. For more information about this program or for resources from Dr. Anderson, please visit andersonspeaks.com. To watch on Facebook Live or to view past episodes, visit Dr. Anderson's public figure Facebook page. Just search Dr. David Anderson and click like. You can also watch live on YouTube. Just search for Anderson Speaks, all one word, and make sure to subscribe. Join our text community and receive a free weekly textpiration from Dr. Anderson. Just text the word INSPIRE to 97000. That's INSPIRE to 97000. And now, back to Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson.
That's me, Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson. I'm with Reverend Dr. Mae Cannon. She's talking with me about the Middle East. She's the executive director of Churches for Middle East Peace. Now, Dr. Mae Cannon, maybe some people in Israel are saying, you know what? There were 240 hostages that were taken. We've been pounding them for 6 months, and half of those hostages are back. Why should we stop now? Should we just keep pounding them until we get all the hostages back?
You know, one of the things that's happening in Israel right now are protests against the government. And one of the things that families that still have hostages held did is they went to the war cabinet or the Knesset, and they passed around these baskets that had in it the amount of food that the average person in Gaza gets a day. And what it had was like a quarter of a piece of pita and one piece of cheese. And what they said to their elected officials is, not only are you starving Gaza, you're starving our children.
Mm.
And so read the Israeli news. Right now, Israel had a political crisis before October 7th.
Right.
And Netanyahu, the prime minister, is in trouble. I mean, there are protests all through Israel to have him be ousted. And so there are great concerns. You know, Israel just bombed the consulate in Damascus of Iran,
right.
So the Iranian embassy. And so there's great concerns that things might escalate, you know, even further to a broader Middle East war, because it could be in Netanyahu's best interest for him to stay in power for things to escalate more broadly.
Mm-hmm.
But these families are saying, you know, bring our children home, which, by the way, we're standing alongside them. I mean, they've
right.
had this movement, 1 minute a day, call for the release of hostages. And that's been one of our asks as well. We're calling for a comprehensive ceasefire, that Hamas would lay down their weapons, that Israel would stop bombing innocent civilians in Gaza, return of hostages, immediate and adequate humanitarian assistance, and that the core causes of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict would be addressed.
Right.
Future generations in Israel and future generations in Palestinians can't keep going through this every few years.
Right.
They can't.
Right. And so then really it has to be a diplomatic solution, not a militarily one. It sounds like that I'm hearing from you, like the military part is over.
Right.
Like, let's stop fighting and killing. Let's try to figure out a different way, even though we haven't killed all of Hamas, even though Hamas is still living. We've got to find a different way.
You know, the question that we got about Hamas earlier, throughout the Arab world, and I am sorry to say this, and this is not what I believe, I'm just telling you something that we're hearing, you know, from the broader Middle East, Hamas has never been more popular.
Mm.
We keep talking to the State Department about this. You are seeing a rise of militantism that the further... this is what you're starting to hear from. Chuck Schumer is the highest elected Jewish official in U.S. history. He's incredibly pro-Israel, and he is saying, Israel, you have to stop because you're becoming a pariah state, which is further promoting anti-Israel sentiment around the world, which further bolsters movements like Hamas.
I understand. Let's go to a couple of phone calls. Upper Marlboro, Maryland, Chester's on the line. Hello, Mr. Chester. It's Dr. Anderson and Dr. Cannon. How are you?
How are you doing, Dr. Anderson? My name is Chester Davis. I called one time. I'm not doing those songs and everything that I used to do, but, you know, I believe in the power of God and Jesus, especially his word in Jesus. I'm looking at Proverbs. The question I just want to stay on your subject of wisdom, talking about you asked the question about what can we do to, or we do, or can us collectively as Christians do to pursue peace?
Yes.
Was that the question you
yes.
asked?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. My question is from the answer, man. Everybody seem to have an answer to the question you have, but I don't think nobody's directing that question to the primary source of where peace comes, the Prince of Peace, when he says that, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And how we look past that and how we take that into ourselves. We just all need to get off our butts, to put it grassrootly, and work for peace. So if we want to pursue peace, we want to have peace.
Yes.
All of us collectively, we have to work for peace.
It. Thank you so much.
It doesn't matter about, thank you for allowing me to share. It doesn't matter about our acronyms, our doctor's degrees, but mind you, I understand the work environment. We understand how people
okay,
work
Chester,
in the environment,
you.
But when you're out there working, thank you so much.
Blessings to you. Let's go to Rhonda in Maryland. Hello, Miss Rhonda. How are you today? What's your comment or question, please, quickly?
I was watching your live, and you asked about why don't people attend church. And I'm one of those people. I grew up in church. I was raised in church. And as I got older, I stopped going.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the things that I experienced going to church. And now I'm looking for a church home because I'm not from Maryland. And that's kind of why I haven't been to a church, because I haven't really found my place at a church.
Gotcha. Hey, so, listen, Miss Rhonda, I'm going to do two things. One, I'm going to thank you for calling and listening. Two, I'm going to invite you to my church if you want to check me out. The web address is bridgeway.cc. I'm going to keep moving because that was yesterday's topic, but I'm really glad you called. Bridgeway, like you're crossing over a bridge, bridgeway.cc.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's go to Capitol Heights and talk with Jeffrey, who's on the line. Hey, Jeffrey, how you doing?
Yeah, hey, Pastor Anderson. How you doing today?
Great, sir. I've got about 30 seconds. I want to hear from you, though. Go for it.
Yeah, because I wanted to, this is a praise report. Remember weeks ago, I shared with you about my daughter, Danielle, being over there in Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
God is so gracious. She's back home, picked it up yesterday after 6 months. Being over there, took her to a BWI. She's on her way back to San Antonio, Texas.
Praise the Lord.
God is great, gracious.
Brought her back, especially
after, for the prayers.
Yeah, especially after those people lost their lives in Jordan, man. So we're glad that your daughter made it safely. God bless you, Jeffrey. I appreciate you giving me that praise report, okay?
Definitely.
All right. God bless you. I'm going to take my final call before the break, and then we're going to end it up with Dr. Cannon. Anonymous is in Washington, D.C. We've got about 30 seconds, Anonymous. How you doing?
Okay. So I've always heard that Gaza, the Strip, was supposed to remain unoccupied by Israel or other people. But over the decades, that just seems to have been ignored and ignored, and we see pictures of more houses, more rows of buildings going up by Israel, by design, knowing that that's not supposed to be the way the land is used.
Gotcha.
I wonder if that's accurate. Okay.
Gotcha. Thank you so much, Anonymous. On the other side of the break, Mae Cannon, you'll answer that question. Was it supposed to remain unoccupied, and if so, why is it still occupied? And then we're going to get your final comments today as we land the plane on the other side of this final break. You've been listening to Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson. Real Talk with Dr. David Anderson, and I'm finalizing my show right here in the last few minutes with our special guest today, which has been such a good learning and never enough time to be, to handle such a big subject. But I'm with Reverend Dr. Mae Cannon. She is the executive director of Churches for Middle East Peace. Dr. Cannon, our last caller talked about Gaza supposed to was supposed to remain unoccupied. Is that a true statement or no?
Yes, I think she might have been talking about settlements in the West Bank. There used to be settlements in Gaza. They were dismantled in 2005, I believe. There is a movement now that's a part of the far right in the Israeli government that wants to reestablish settlements in Gaza. But in general, that's an outlier. In the West Bank, there are more than 500,000 settlers. That's Jewish communities that are built on land that is supposed to be designated for a future state of Palestine. Those are considered illegal by international law, but they are endorsed by the Israeli government. And so that's a very contentious issue. It will have to be resolved in any negotiated settlement.
Do most Jewish folk that live in Israel support a two-state solution, or is that just kind of everybody else on the outside?
You know, there's the before and after October 7th. Before October 7th, yes. After October 7th, no. Hmm. We are further away from peace than we have ever been before. And one of the consequences of October 7th, you know, it is described as the worst attack on Jewish people since the Holocaust. And that is for Jewish people in Israel, but also around the world. The trauma that Jewish people have never felt safe. And this was the exclamation mark on the end of that sentence, right?
Yeah.
And so the inability for Jewish people in Israel to experience empathy for Palestinians and vice versa has never been worse than in this moment.
That's so terrible. You know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's going to do all he can to make sure that that happens. But we have a Lord who says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so we support life in all of its forms, regardless of whether one is Jewish or Palestinian. I'll give you a final question before we close in prayer. What is the best pathway to peace in the Middle East from your perspective?
That's right. You know, John Perkins was one of my mentors, a civil rights activist from Mississippi. He was beaten almost to death, and he was brought back to life by a white doctor. And as a black man brought back to life by a white man, he says, that white man loved the hatred right out of me. He's a Christian. That's what I think about Jesus, right? The greatest sacrifice we can give is to give your life for a friend. And love is what overcomes hate. Yes. And I think Christians have a unique role to play in this conflict. And that's a part of the role we have to play, right? Carry the pain of your people and to enter into that pain. If Jews and Muslims can't have empathy for one another, might Christians have empathy for both?
Amen. Might
we see the humanity of all in the name of Jesus?
I love it. That sounds like a bridge builder to me, Dr. Mae Cannon.
I learned it from you.
Oh, my sister. I love it. Hey, if anybody wants to get a hold of Churches for Middle East Peace, where do they go?
They can email us at info at CMEP. That's just the acronym, Churches for Middle East Peace, CMEP.org. They can go to my website, maycannon.com, so you can find us online. I have been doing daily videos since October 7th, 10 minutes a day, giving an update on what's happening since then.
Hey, keep up the good work. Maycannon.org. That's May, M-A-E. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your kind grace. Help us to love all and be empathetic to all. Thank you for Dr. Cannon. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen.
Father, help your children.